Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. Today we have the quick reset, which is mums just need to try harder. This one gets me. You're standing in the kitchen, you've written the list, you actually know what needs to be done. But yet you're staring at the tea towel, wondering when you'll get started. So all of the jobs that you have been avoiding actually feel more exciting than the job that you have to do right now. That's the only thing you need to do. If you don't start now, you will run late, you will not get it done, but you cannot start. For a lot of ADHD mums, somewhere in the back of your head at this point, you can hear the echo. You just need to try harder. Other people can do it. You need to try harder. You're not good enough. Now, this could be a family member that you grew up with. It could be an old boss. It could be a bully. It could be your inner critic. But whoever it is, the advice is pure crap. What we all need to hear is that trying harder is not the answer. If trying harder fixed executive dysfunction, none of us would be burnt out. We are all trying as hard as humanly possible. I've never interviewed any ADHD mum that has not been trying their absolute hardest. That is the problem with burnout, is because we're at capacity plus all the time. If trying harder was the answer, there would be no podcast. There would be no issue. I think we tried harder than most neurotypical parents, hands down. So it's not that we're lazy, we're not undisciplined, but we are tired, we are unsupported, and we also have a different brain which is going to struggle with things that other people find easy. The problem isn't lack of effort, but your brain's motivation and reward system is going to operate differently. Seeing the thing, knowing it needs to be done, may not be enough to actually get you to start. And trying harder doesn't actually unlock your frontal lobe, which is neurologically different to neurotypical people. So being told to try harder, especially as a child, when you don't even have the capacity or the advocacy to stand up for yourself and say, hey, I'm actually trying my best. All you do is feel that you're not good enough. This message of try harder deepens the shame spiral that a lot of us are stuck on. And do you know what shuts down executive function? Shame. Psychologically and neurobiologically, shame is the most painful and paralyzing emotion a human can experience. Especially for neurodivergent people, that they're either too much or they're not enough or they need to try harder. The difference between guilt and shame is guilt is I did something bad and shame is I am bad. Brené Brown says that shame is the intensely painful feeling that we are unworthy of love and belonging. When we shame somebody or we shame a child at school, you're not good enough. You're not trying hard enough and that's their best. That makes their executive function worse. So we can take this into our parenting, yes, that shame is not going to help our children improve and to the school, yes, we can. But in this episode, it's about us. And by taking that inner critic that we need to just try harder or actually listening to somebody in our life tell us that makes us worse, hands down. ADHD isn't a motivational failure. It is a neurodevelopment condition that disrupts the brain's ability to regulate attention, emotion, and effort, even when we want to do the thing. So ADHD brains aren't just wired a bit differently, and I feel like that sometimes contributes to the myth that ADHD isn't real. So for example, you know how sometimes people will say, I have a gluten intolerance, but I don't actually test positive for celiac. And then some people can say, oh, well, that's not really gluten then. That's just your preference. You think this. You've just read something online about gluten being bad as if it's not a real thing. So I just want to be really clear here that ADHD brains are structurally and functionally different. There is reduced volume in the key brain areas. MRI studies have found that there is a smaller brain volume in children and adolescents with ADHD. That's fact. We've also found that when we do brain scans on ADHD kids, there is a delay across the brain, but particularly in the prefrontal cortex, which is executive function. That's where executive function lives. And that delay is about 3 years. So if you have a child that's 10 and all of their peers or your cousins or whatever it is are doing this at 10 and your child's more at that 7-year-old level when you're still getting them ready for school and helping them, I wouldn't shame them for it, because that's not going to actually increase their executive function. I'm going to put the references to this in the show notes. I feel like I could do a whole episode about that. This isn't just a different wiring, a gluten intolerance, or, I like to go dairy-free because it's better on my gut. And those are all valid, don't get me wrong. I'm actually gluten intolerant and I'm dairy intolerant. However, sometimes because I'm not actually celiac, that can be dismissed. And that's where I feel like sometimes when we say our brains wire differently, it feels maybe that invalidates the experience a little bit. So maybe people that don't have the understanding about that the brain is physiologically, neurologically different in MRI scans, they may think that the brain being a bit different or wired differently is kind of like a bit of a lifestyle choice. Like, oh, it's just they're wired a bit differently as if it's an excuse. There is clinical studies that show the difference in brain function, and I can put that in the reference notes. So it's definitely not a willpower thing. Telling someone with ADHD to try harder is like that metaphor that we see online, telling someone with asthma to breathe deeper whilst in mid-attack, or telling someone in a wheelchair to stand up and walk up the stairs. You're asking for effort from the exact part of the brain that struggles to engage without that right chemical and neurotransmitter, which is directly what the medication helps. But we know that ADHD medication isn't a pill that you take and then you're instantly fixed. It's the first step for a lot of us. But just because you've got medication doesn't mean you're air quoting all better. So, what if someone says, well, I have ADHD too, and I manage that easily? Okay, well, I would expect more from other ADHDers, to be honest, to be a bit more understanding. We know, and this is an obvious thing, that ADHD looks different in everybody. For example, I'm actually pretty good at task initiation, and it's usually my anxiety that fuels the task initiation. I feel like if I stop, it will all pile up. Yet, my husband has so much issues with getting started in a task. But I have trouble finishing tasks. I can start them, but then I get to 60%, I get bored and I start something else. Whereas he takes a lot longer to get started, but he does the job completely, properly. Whereas I'm the person that's done the job, but now there's like this cleanup phase that we have to go through because I've done something. For example, we needed to get a new fridge. I felt like it would take him too long to get started on that and that the fridge would die and there would probably be some kind of wait period on getting the new fridge, and then we'd have to live out of Eskies, and who's going to be in charge of that? Hear the anxiety, the anxiety. So I thought, let's get ahead of it. We know we need a new fridge. We know we have to spend the money. Let's just spend it. So I go ahead, start the task, and I just want to get it done. I just want to complete it. That's my main focus because I'm bored and I want to do something else, but I want the job done. So I pick a fridge that doesn't have a built-in water filter, which is really important for our family, particularly with our children. And what they like to drink, there's a whole thing. So there's no built-in water filter, so now we have to fill the jug up. Now, when that arrived, you could see my hubby looking at it like, oh my God. And I tell you what, that was a metaphor for our whole relationship ordering that fridge because I've jumped in early, started the task, got it done, but not really done it right. And when we've asked somebody, can you plumb that in now? No, you can't. But my hubby would have taken probably a long time, a couple of weeks, to get that started with that fridge. Or I would have had to body double him, which is probably what I should have done, and said, let's order the fridge and got started with him and then gotten bored and walked off. And he's able to finish it and he probably would have ordered a much better fridge. So see how ADHD looks completely different? I don't think there's any winners in comparing who has the worst ADHD and who should be doing what. Another thing that people like to say around just try harder is, but you can focus when it's something that you like. So why can't you just focus on this? Wow. Well, that would be easy, wouldn't it? Okay. I can't personally, and I don't know many or any ADHDers that can pick what they hyper focus on. A lot of the time, it's useless, time consuming. You spend a lot of money on it and then you give up after 3 months. So it's not something you can turn on and then just turn off. If it was, a lot of us would be billionaires. A lot of us have got hyper focuses on things that are unrelated or unhelpful to anyone. So, yes, we can focus. I wish we could pick what we focus on. That would be amazing. Unfortunately, we cannot. That is the world of ADHD. Now, what about this myth? If you can focus and try really hard sometimes, I don't see how you can have ADHD. You're probably just unmotivated or lazy. You need to be more organized. You're just not trying hard enough. Okay, here's the fact. If you're seeing someone with ADHD focus for a long period, that could be just a hyperfocus. And that is a really well-documented ADHD trait where the brain locks onto something that's super stimulating, But that's not something the person can control. If we knew how to control that, we would be millionaires, hands down. So we really need to look at ADHD as a regulation disorder. So for example, Barclay and Murphy, and I'll put the research into the notes, really looked at the way that ADHD brains have impaired functioning in things that aren't interesting. But if something is highly stimulating or exciting, it can flood the system with dopamine. And then it can get a bit tunnel vision-y if you're in a hyperfocus. But you can't choose to turn that on. Your brain is actually hijacked. And that is something that I think people can't understand. But just think about it this. If it was possible to choose it, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. You'd just be hyper-focusing on what you've got to get done. None of this would exist. The fact that we can't choose is part of the problem. If I could choose, I would stop doing things like cleaning out pantry cupboards and doing weird things with Tupperware versus just signing the school excursion form and paying their $10, which I'm absolutely avoiding. So really, the shift here is that we don't need to try harder, but we do need to start working with our brain. So for example, instead of thinking, I just need to try harder, you need to step back and follow these steps. Number one, externalize the task. Don't keep it in your head. Your brain is like a pinball machine, or maybe that's just mine. It's not a filing cabinet. Pinball machines remember nothing, but there's a lot of activity. Use visual whiteboard, sticky note, task-specific baskets. Try to externalize it and don't rely on your head because it's full. For example, don't try and remember do the washing. Put the washing basket by the front door so you see it. If you have to remember to drop something off at someone's house, don't put it away, put it on the kitchen bench. Write down one place that you actually check with things that you've got to do. And that is going to be different for everybody. But a new app or a planner is not the idea. So don't think that you need to externalize the task with a new app. That won't necessarily fix this because you may buy the app, get excited, download it, and then never upload anything. That's what usually happens to me. If you'd like an ADHD values planner or workbook, that helps you get clear on what's important to you and helps you externalize it and really overcome some of the really big neuroscience brain shifts that are required to use a planner consistently, check out my planner on the website. I'll put it into the show notes. But the key is to figure out why you haven't been able to use the planners in the past. Now, using the planner on my website is not a new thing. It is actually an attitude shift, a values shift. If you have something that you're using at the moment, great. You can use that particular workbook on any app, planner, on your phone, on your notebook. It is actually a way of living as opposed to just another shiny object that you have to fill out. Two, anchor time or place. Executive dysfunction hates vague timing. Later is like never for me. So instead of saying, I'll just do it when I have time, that's like, I'm never going to do it. I have to say, I'm going to do it at 10 o'clock when I have coffee. Or link boring tasks to routines like after school drop off or put out the bins. You might need to set alarms with context. Like for example, put the bins out before the maggots win. Have a think about putting a bit of context with an alarm. You might need to do a task with somebody, look up body doubling. I'm not going to go into it. It's a strategy that most people know about. And number four, you might need to use dopamine strategically. We may need to be honest that boring tasks are going to be difficult to get started with. So you may need to blast music, listen to a podcast, turn it into a challenge, do something to try and create a little bit more excitement with stuff that you don't like, whether it's watching a show while you fold washing, whatever it is, to try and get your brain started. Now, this isn't just trying harder. This is about doing things a little bit differently and having compassion for yourself and your brain. We actually need to do things a little bit different and create connection with our brain to get us started. That's your quick reset for this week, and you've already started just by listening. You don't have to push harder, but you've got to feel safer. Take the pressure off. You don't have to perform to be worthy. You're allowed to be a work in progress. You're doing better than you think, and I'll be right here next time you need a reset. See you next week.